Coming up next on The Social Hour, Dropbox gets a lot more visual. We'll tell you what's coming down the pike. And Google Plus is number two. It's not as bad as it sounds, I promise. Also, is feed rad or just a fad? All that and a lot of Vine spinoffs. Ooh, they are aplenty. Up next on The Social Hour.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Bandwidth for The Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and guest host Shannon Morse. Episode 96, recorded Friday, February 1st, 2013. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Squarespace, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code SocialHour2. They recently launched a developer platform for complete code control, too. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Social Hour from Twit World Headquarters in Petaluma, California. I'm Sarah Lane, and I'm joined in person by the lovely Shannon Morse.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and thanks for agreeing to fill in for our Amber MacArthur, who is traveling this week and wasn't able
anytime.
To make the show.
I was so happy that you invited me on. Well, I love The Social Hour.
Well, I'm so glad. I'm so happy that you said, sure, I'd love to.
Yeah, anytime.
I thought you'd be like, no, Sarah, I got hack stuff to do.
I got my hacker stuff. So
yeah, I've got products
I'm
to
busy.
Wrangle. So anybody who's not familiar with Shannon, you work here, you produce before you buy, and appear as a talent on that show as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you were on iPad Today with me, oh gosh, back in November.
Yeah, that was fun too.
And that was fun too. So, you know, we're just going to get you on all the shows, at least all the shows that I have anything to do with.
That's my plan.
Yeah.
Take over the world.
Absolutely. So The Social Hour, of course, is a little bit of news, a little bit of tips, some spotlights, a little bit of everything in the world of social. There was quite a bit that happened this week. One of the first stories that I wanted to talk about was from a few days ago. This is Dropbox getting more visual. They've got a couple of new offerings, social photo sharing, and then a document quick preview. Now, I would love to show you this working. However, these are features that are rolling out over the next few months. I believe the company says that the first feature where you would, if you hover over a file name, you get a little bit of a preview.
Yeah.
That's very helpful. You know, it's kind of like how I press, you know, my space bar on top of a file in OS X to just get a sense of what does it look like? Oh, yeah, it's that file type of a thing. Yeah, Dropbox says users over the coming months will receive this update. And then the next one relates to photos, which is interesting because although Dropbox is a great place to back up photos, I wouldn't call it a visual place.
Yeah, it's not. It's not a visual place at all. I've had this issue with Dropbox for years, ever since I signed up for it. Whenever I wanted to download a file, or just view a file, I would click on the file name and it would just download to my computer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily want to do that every time. I might just want to look at it and, you know, find some kind of data that's in the file real quick.
Yeah.
Not just download the whole thing. So it's really, really useful to me that they're finally implementing this problem that they've had for so long that I didn't really even know was an issue with cloud service until they were like, oh, by the way, we're rolling this out now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, finally.
What's kind of cool is that for the photo album part of this new feature, you'll be able to create virtual albums that you can share. So if you move your photos within the file system in Dropbox, at least those, because of the virtual albums, the photos are associated with each other, so it almost doesn't matter where they live. As long as they're in Dropbox somewhere, you can keep all that stuff together. So I'm excited for this. I use Dropbox constantly and mostly as a backup or just a place where if I know I'm going to be on several different systems, you know, I've got my little password document, you know, that sort of stuff. It's like, I just want to make sure that it's in the cloud. So Dropbox has always been good for me for that.
Yeah, I don't use it a lot for photos necessarily because I like to keep all of my photos organized onto my home computer.
Yeah.
And I only save them all up to Spider Oak, a different cloud service that I use just for my photography. But if once this is implemented, I'm going to try it out. I've already signed up for it, so I'm just waiting to get the actual invite update on my Dropbox account. But it's going to be really cool that they're adding the fact that you can actually preview things on the website. It's going to be so much easier.
Yeah, I love Dropbox. I'm a big fan. I actually I back up every picture I post to Instagram. I use If This Then That to back up to Dropbox. Yep. Even though Dropbox has sort of its own features where you can back up photos automatically, but that's always kind of worked out well for me. I put that together a long time ago when Instagram wasn't allowing you to keep a copy of photos that you uploaded.
You have to go to one of those websites that were created to so you can download your whole
account. Exactly. So so Dropbox is full of my Instagram photos, but again, it's very helpful. So Google Plus is number two, Shannon. It's number two in what? In social networks of the world.
Higher than YouTube?
Yeah, actually. It's interesting.
Higher than Facebook? Nope.
No. No, no. Facebook is ahead by a very wide margin. This is according to data from Global Web Index. Google Plus has 343 million active users, which, behind Facebook, is the second largest social network globally. So that's the U.S., that's China, that's Europe, that's everywhere. It's interesting when you look at Facebook's in crazy first place. Then we've got Google Plus. Not too far behind Google Plus is YouTube. And then almost at the exact same levels, Twitter. Surprises me a little bit.
Yeah, it surprises me too, because I feel like everyone's on Twitter, and a lot of my friends have been leaving Facebook because of all those security concerns with it.
Really?
However, with Google Plus, I have been finding myself to use it a lot more often because they just implemented the communities aspect to it, and I love that I can just join a community, and I moderate my own ThreatWire one for our YouTube Revision 3 show.
Yeah.
And I just find that it's a lot easier to use when you have a lot of people that are talking about the same discussion on one page. Although I don't use Google Plus a lot on mobile, I usually just use it on my PC, and I'm not really sure why that is that I do that. But
you know, that's an interesting observation because I do the same thing, and I'm not a huge. Amber and I are always talking about that we feel very guilty that Google Plus isn't. It's not really my number two network. Twitter's definitely my number one. I'd say probably Facebook is my number two.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
You know, and then you sort of start getting into some of the social network apps that I really, even though Instagram has a web presence now, I access it on my iPhone exclusively, or my iPad if I'm going through Flipboard or something. But Google Plus has always been, you know, I want to love it. I will. Just earlier today, I had posted the latest episode of i5 for the iPhone, which is another show I do here on the Twit Network. And I've said in the past, you know, there's not a lot of engagement. I mean, I've got all of these people who are supposedly connected to me on Google Plus, but no one really cares.
Yeah, and I don't really get that many comments on anything that I do on there, while on Twitter, like, my tweets blow up after I tweet something of interest.
I think somebody had said to me, well, Sarah, if you look through your activity on Google Plus over the last few months, it's very self-promotional. You know, you talk about, here's a new show that I did, but you're not engaging so much with people. And I think that there's a really good point to that. Even though Google Plus is actually a lot better organized for conversations, the conversations that I'm usually having and the engagement that I'm participating in happens on Twitter.
Yeah.
If I posted a link to a show, I feel like I get quite a few responses.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe we just, we like to make things difficult on ourselves.
I feel like Google Plus might be able to increase their place in this platform, active usage chart, if they had some kind of really easy connection between Twitter and them, so that I could tweet out all sorts of stuff and not just have it go to Facebook and Twitter, but also have it go to Google Plus. And right now, I don't really have an easy way to do that.
You know, we had gotten an email this week. I think it was from Mike Tabbert, because Mike, you email all the time. Yeah, good questions. I believe he brought up this exact same thing, which is there are great ways to sort of blast out something, but sometimes Google Plus seems to be the...
It's kind of on its own.
Yeah. I was going to say the dark horse. I don't think that's actually the right way to put it. You know, the black sheep.
It's the black sheep, yeah.
Yeah, nobody wants to work with Google, so they're like, eh, nah, no thank you. Instagram's like, we're off on their own.
Yeah,
we're Facebook now. So OpenTable has bought Food Spotting for $10 million, which is my first... I mean, you know that you live in a valley bubble when I'm like, $10 million, that's not very much at all.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
To me, I'm like, whoa, but I grew up in Missouri. So I'm like, oh my gosh, $10 million. That's
well,
a lot of money.
Well, $10 million is a lot of money to me, too. But you hear of these $1 billion acquisitions.
That's true.
And,
yeah.
And so it's like, $10 million. I wonder if everybody's happy with that. I don't know.
I bet FoodSpotting probably could have asked for more and gotten it. Just because I know a lot of people use FoodSpotting. A lot of people in the San Francisco area do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe they just jumped on it because they were like, oh, this is the only offer we're going to get, so let's go for it. What do you think?
I don't know. FoodSpotting is one of those apps. I've had it on my iPhone for years.
Do you use it occasionally?
I use it occasionally.
Okay.
And it's usually because I go, I haven't done anything on FoodSpotting in a while. I should just check in and see if they've updated anything or the design is different or something. The thing about FoodSpotting that I've always, that's been a little bit strange to me, and if you're not familiar with it, it's sort of a way to, you know, you take a picture of food, you kind of check in somewhere, you give a tip about something that's very good at a restaurant, and then if I do that at Mission Beach Cafe and then Shannon finds herself there, she can be like, oh, Sarah likes the pancakes. Maybe that's something that, you know, I would get as well.
Bacon pancakes. Oh, sorry.
Not bacon pancakes. I don't know if they have
but
those
they're
there.
So good.
I don't know. One of my issues with FoodSpotting was that it's all sort of about positive experiences. And sometimes the things that I'm most passionate about are, you know, like, that was the worst Eggs Benedict I ever had. The world should know.
Yeah.
And I never really thought that FoodSpotting was the right place for me to do that. That's more of like a Yelp thing.
Yeah,
where
definitely
you write some scathing review. Never go here. So I think it's interesting that OpenTable is buying all of this, you know, sort of positive and visual food user data. I use OpenTable constantly to book reservations.
I use OpenTable on occasion whenever I'm actually in San Francisco, the city proper, instead of just, you know, where I live outside of the city, because I find that a lot of people don't use OpenTable where I live. But when I get into a more populous area, they use it a lot. So
you mean the restaurants themselves?
Yeah, the restaurants themselves. So for myself, I don't use it that often. But on the few times I have used it, it's great. Works just fine.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Even in San Francisco, where I live, and there are so many restaurants, they don't all use OpenTable, but a big majority of at least the restaurants where I'm like, oh, last minute, maybe they have an opening. It seems like a very, very popular service.
Now, what I found interesting about this article is they said whenever you do a reservation, what they're planning, what they're trying to get to, is where you'll get an email with, like, some photographs and a menu. And I feel like that's going to not only help the customer, but it's going to help the restaurant, too, because if you have people sitting in your restaurant at your table for, you know, 10, 20 minutes trying to figure out what they want to eat, when in actuality they could just get to the restaurant and already know what they want to eat.
That
you can have a higher turnover rate for that. I graduated with restaurant management, so
no,
you can have
that's
higher turnover of
that's
your tables,
what restaurants want.
Yeah,
in the most polite way possible, get the heck out so that we can seat somebody else.
I wonder if that was one of the reasons why they decided to buy FoodSpotting, was to give themselves that higher turnover for restaurants, so more restaurants will want to use them.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you get your email, your confirmation, whatever. And it's like, here, you know, the five dishes that people like the most.
Yeah.
So you've already got that in your head. And then you're like, I'm definitely going to get that quail egg stew because it looks so good. I don't
quail
know.
Quail egg
Is that
stew.
A thing?
Delicious.
I don't know. That sounds like something you meat eaters would eat and be like, yummy, quail eggs. So, yeah, congratulations to FoodSpotting and OpenTable. It seems like maybe a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
Crashlytics is a company that I had never heard of, Shannon.
Me neither.
Until Twitter basically acquired them. It on Crashlytics' blog, they say that they're joining forces. So it sort of appears to be a Twitter acquisition of the company Crashlytics. What Crashlytics does is help app developers figure out what is going wrong when you're testing an app and there's some crashes and some bugs, and this is a service that allows you to kind of pinpoint where there are issues, you know, why apps are doing the wrong thing at certain times. I can't find my words.
Why
they're disconnecting, not being a developer.
While they're suddenly closing on your iOS phone, why is something else is happening?
Yeah, is there a line of code that just, you know, there's a little tiny little problem, and now all these people are experiencing these weird behaviors and activities. So that's what Crushlytics does.
And the fact that there's so many different Android phones out there now, there's so many different, you know, there's a few iPhones, and there's also a lot of tablets. Each one has to be developed differently given its resolutions and the speeds and everything. So I can see how it can be really, really hard for developers to be able to test each and every one of these phones when, of course, you can't purchase each and every phone yourself and be able to test them on those.
Exactly.
So, yeah, Crushlytics, you go, guys.
Yeah, and it's interesting that it's basically an acquisition of the team and the technology for Twitter, because obviously Twitter has all sorts of apps that
That's true.
You've got your iOS stuff.
Your app.
I mean, Twitter's all over the place, and obviously they want to have the smoothest experience possible. Mm-hmm. But what's neat is that Crushlytics also works with other companies. Kayak is one example. Waze, the social driving maps
awesome.
Service. They use Crushlytics, and from what it seems like, at least at this point, Twitter isn't going to shut all of that down. They don't have to be exclusively working with Twitter.
That's cool.
It just becomes a Twitter property.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, that's great for, you know, any company that's already benefiting from
it. I hate it when I hear that some company is getting shut down because Twitter said so. Just drives me nuts.
Yeah, I know.
More open.
Capitalism, man.
Freaking topless.
Shannon, do you use streaming music services like Spotify or RDO or Mog?
I do not.
No.
Actually, I've never gotten into it. I've done a little bit of Pandora here and there, but to be honest, I've never tried out Spotify or RDO.
Now, is it because you buy a lot of music or because you're just not so into music?
I think it's mostly because a lot of what I listen to lately has been podcasts or audiobooks, and all the music that I want to listen to, I already have in my iTunes music library. So I just copy that to my phone and I just, you know, stick it in my car and there I go. So yeah, I've never had a use for it. I've never wanted to pay for it.
Right. Well, I don't really like paying for it either. But I do.
Do you pay for it?
I pay for RDO. I pay
I
pay there's two tiers. It's $4.99 per month, which doesn't have mobile access, and I'm sure some of you are very sick of me talking about how much I like RDO. but I go ahead and pay $10 because I have to have
the
mobile listening feature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, when I take long walks or, you know, I'm out in public transportation or whatever. And I'm just listening to albums all the time. What I like about it is you said all the music that you want, you already have.
Yeah.
But see, for me, I'm kind of the same way. I'm not really interested in growing my iTunes music library, but I am interested in listening to new music.
Yeah,
I just don't
true.
Really feel like the hard drive space, and it just gets kind of complicated. So I just stream albums and go, oh, that was really good. Okay, cool.
And
then I listen to something else.
Regular radio just drives me nuts. Like, you have a couple of songs, and then, like, 5 minutes of nothing but commercials, and then you get the same songs over and over again, like, every hour. And I can't listen to radio at all.
Right. Exactly. This is a wonderful alternative.
Check out RDO.
RDO is great, and the reason I'm even talking about it is that what RDO has really not had is a good international presence. Spotify launched in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it took a while for Spotify to launch in the U.S. We just kept hearing about
how great
it was.
Didn't they have a lot of legal issues whenever they tried to do that?
Yeah, it's the problem all these services seem to have. Pandora's another one where there's just the countries have their own kind of regulation, and you have to, you know, figure out licensing and all that jazz. But RDO has launched in quite a few countries, and what it's doing is trying to kind of get the users hooked by offering free music streaming for 6 months. Now, I mentioned that mobile is part of the reason that I like RDO so much, because I can listen to stuff anywhere as long as I have an internet connection. And there's also offline syncing, too, which is a whole other thing. This is not part of that six-month free. You can listen on the desktop, on a desktop app, or via the web, but not a mobile interface.
Oh, okay.
And not one of, you know, the, like, iPad apps or anything like that. So, in a way, I feel like, well, if you're in the UK or Australia or Belgium or Canada or Norway or Sweden or New Zealand, I mean, you definitely have a service that you didn't have just last week, but it's still limited.
Yeah.
And I know that you give people 6 months free access to anything, and then you hope that they love it so much that
they continue,
can't live
and they
without
purchase it.
And then they decide to, you know, pay $10 a month. We don't actually know. RDO says we're not going to say at this point how the pricing will differ from country to country. We can't guarantee that there's going to be a $4.99 and a $9.99 the way that it is in the U.S. Just because, again, each market is different. What do you think? Do you think 6 months is I mean, I think that sounds very generous.
Yeah,
it's not
is.
Like you're getting the actual experience. You're getting part of it.
I will say that I currently get 6 months of free Pandora in my new car. I bought a Ford, and they just came with 6 months of free Pandora. Mm-hmm. And I've been using that to listen to, not Pandora, Sirius Radio. And
Pandora's
it's
free,
really nice.
Ad-supported.
But the problem with that is I keep on getting these things in the mail that say, oh, well, when your 6 months is up, you make sure to upgrade for like $12 a month or whatever it is. And that just, to me, that's still so expensive that I'm much more willing to just buy the music off of iTunes or wherever that I want to purchase.
Right.
And just listen to that over and over on my iPhone. I'm totally okay with that. How do you think this is going to compete with Spotify, though? Because Spotify has already been in the UK and internationally for quite a while. So do you think that Ardio is going to come in and just, like, punch him to the side?
Well, that's a very good question. I can only say, as a U.S. user, I have access to Spotify and Ardio. And I have chosen to pay for Ardio mm-hmm. because I like the interface better. Ardio had an iPad app well before Spotify did. Well before. In fact, it was the first music streaming service that I knew of. Oh. And it was some time ago. And so I really liked that. That was something that I would take my iPad to the gym with me, and I'd have my Ardio and this and that. And so for me, it's really just a matter of preference in the user experience. You know,
user
the
interface. Mm-hmm. Library.
I prefer the UI. I do. I think for the most part, and people will say, well, Spotify sometimes has music that Ardio doesn't, and vice versa. And it, for the most part, I feel like they're getting all the same stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same thing. So it's there are social elements that differ between the two. Ardio kind of has a bit of a social stream, what my friends are listening to.
Oh, that's cool.
Shannon added this new album to her collection.
Oh, wait, I take that back. I have seen my friend do that on Twitter or something, and it drove me crazy because it was everywhere.
Oh yeah!
Like every 2 seconds, she would update with a new song that she was listening to, and I was like, I don't care.
It might have been Facebook too, because they connect to Facebook, and then it shows up in activity feeds. And,
yep.
Yeah, that's actually what I do most on Facebook, even though I'm not actually trying. Is I just listen to music on Ardio, and then everyone knows what I'm listening to.
Yeah,
which can be embarrassing, actually.
Oh, Spice Girls again? Come
little,
on, Sarah.
A little Kesha at the gym. I'm just trying to pump myself up. I'm not saying I condone her behavior. I'm just saying.
It's Kesha.
Yeah, so anyway, it's Ardio is making a big international push, and it'll be interesting to see how many of the people who are excited about those 6 months of free music end up becoming paying subscribers, especially since in at least many of these countries, they've had the Spotify experience for a long time. Okay, quick reminder that Amber and I usually, almost always, record The Social Hour live on Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern and 1 p.m. Pacific. Our website is twit.tv/TSH, which can be very handy because if you watch us live, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for doing so. But if you ever want to go back and watch one of our esteemed guests interviews, or you want to subscribe to the show because you don't really ever feel like you can watch us live or don't really want to think about it each week. You want to watch us on demand. Seth Godin, by the way, was our guest last week. He's such a cool dude. I've been reading his blog for years, and I don't know why I thought he'd be intimidating in person. Maybe just because he comes across as really smart. And
he was an interesting guy.
Yeah,
I watched that interview. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, he was great. He was happy to be here. So if you missed that, you really should watch it. I think you'd really like it. But Amber and I, we talk about a lot of links. We talk about a lot of services. Sometimes you might be like, I don't even know. I think about 45 minutes in, Amber talked about something that I'm interested in. We've got all of the links in our show notes. So just find the episode, and in each episode page, scroll down, and you'll get those links there. So we try to make it as easy as possible for all of you to follow along with us. If you have feedback for us, questions, comments, anything like that, thesocialhour@twit.tv is our email address. Write us early and often. All right, Shannon, before we get into some of our tips and a few spotlights that may or may not include cats, Amber isn't here, so we can just go nuts.
Yes! High five.
Yes.
Yes.
Before we get to that, let's take a moment to thank Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. I don't want to share it with you yet because I'm not happy enough with my layout, but I'm in the midst of building my new Squarespace 6 site.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. I am. It's a weekend project that, you know, now is going to consume me. And that's just the way it goes with blogs. But this is what's kind of neat about Squarespace, is that, and this is Squarespace 6, exactly, it is not hard to create a high-quality website or blog. In fact, you don't have to have any talent or skill to speak of at all. The thing is that I don't, but I like to customize and tinker around. That's just what I like to do. And you can do that with Squarespace as well. You can get, you can pull from a template. They have got these great templates right off the bat where you can basically pull in content from an old Squarespace site or a WordPress blog or TypePad or all sorts of stuff like that easily. You got a blog in minutes. Or you can get very specific and tinker around behind the scenes under the hood, which is what I'm doing, which is why, you know, I shouldn't be trusted to make blogs because I'm a perfectionist. But it's the best mobile experience as well. So Squarespace has templates that have mobile-ready responsive designs. What that means is that no matter how someone's accessing your site, is it on the web, is it on an iPad, is it on, you know, a Nexus 7, is it, you know, any device, it should all look the same. It should have a uniform look. 7 different versions of any image you add to your site so that the correct size loads for each device. Things like that. Squarespace is really good with the details. These websites are beautiful. Lots of templates, 100% drag and drop functionality for all customization tools. Once you get the hang of it, you think, gosh, building a blog, it's always been a lot harder than it has to be now that we've got Squarespace. Also, social media integration. So everybody who watches The Social Hour knows social media is really important. You know, your blog isn't one stagnant place. You're active all over the place. You can automatically import, sync, publish to and from a variety of social media with a few clicks. Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Foursquare, LinkedIn, all sorts of social media buttons that you can use on your blog to connect to the stuff that you love. By the way, domain names, design, development, hosting, and customer support is all part of the Squarespace experience. It's not just about blog templates. It's building a blog that is hosted and managed. You don't have to worry about it going down. If you have a question, a Squarespace customer service rep will get back to you quickly. I mean, really quickly. I don't think I've ever waited more than about 30 minutes for a response from Squarespace. So hopefully I've let you know how much I like the site. If you're interested in building a website from scratch, you can sign up for a free trial. Go to squarespace.com. You just click the free sign up for a free trial, free account section. You don't need a credit card or anything. You don't need anything. You just try it out and build your website. If you decide to purchase a plan and you've got some plan options, you pick the one that's right for you, use the offer code SOCIALHOUR2. So that's social hour and then the number 2 to get an additional 10% off your first purchase on new accounts. That includes monthly and annual plans. So again, go to squarespace.com. Just try it out. See if you like it. Build somebody a website as a gift. Make a some sort of a, you know, sort of a photo collage. If you think you've been taking a lot of good pictures lately, you've got so many options. And if you decide to purchase, go ahead and use that offer code SOCIALHOUR2. And thanks so much to the team at Squarespace for being such a loyal sponsor of our little show. Okay, Shannon, this is actually something that you found. We've got quite a ball game coming up on Sunday.
Yes, we do. So there's this little thing happening called the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's,
I don't know, something having to do with American football and
chips, a big bowl.
Lots of men with
of
nice butts.
Men,
I don't know. I'll watch.
I will watch as well. This is actually, I know some of you don't care about football or perhaps don't live inside the U.S. and wonder what the big deal is, but it's a particularly big deal for me because my team is in the Super Bowl for the first time in 18 49ers. Years.
Woo!
So big deal. Big deal.
It is.
A lot of people are going to be watching, gathered around television.
I'm a cord cutter, uh-huh. So I don't have cable at home. So my first thought was, okay, the Super Bowl is coming up. Well, I could go to a bar and deal with a whole bunch of crazy people.
Sure.
Or I could go over to one of my friends' houses, but nobody has planned anything. So I was like, well, I guess I'm just stuck without watching the Super Bowl.
Well, so what are some of our options if, you know, you want to stream the Super Bowl? Is that actually something that I could do in this day and age?
I thought you couldn't do it legally. Mm-hmm. I thought there was no way to do it. But apparently, if you go to CBSSports.com, they're going to be having a live stream of the Super Bowl. And you can do replays. You can watch the social networks as they go on. And you can, like, search for certain things. You can see the running tallies for the how many touchdowns they've gotten and Forgive me if I don't know all the correct language for football.
No, hey, touchdowns are a big part of football. You are on the right track.
That's pretty much the only word I know for football is touchdowns. But, yeah, you can apparently watch it at CBSSports.com, live stream, and there's no authentication required, so you don't have to log in with, say, your Comcast login.
You don't have to prove
like
that you've got cable or anything like that. Yeah,
so
I think they said they're not going to block out the halftime show, so you don't like football, but you really like Beyonce, this would
there
be a way
go.
To see that
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, you can watch the halftime show, and they also have it available via tablet, laptop, or desktop computer, so you can watch it on your tablet, too, on the go.
That's awesome. Now, see, I don't have cable either, but I do have an over-the-air antenna, I'm able to, I would be able to watch the Super Bowl, you know, in HD from home, but this is also a really good option if for some reason, you know, you're not going to be home. You got to travel, or there's something going on, or you're stuck somewhere, and it's like, well, this sucks. Now I can't watch the Super Bowl. If you've got a device that can access this,
I'm so excited.
Then you're in better shape.
Yep. I'm totally pulling up my browser when I get home on Sunday, and I'm going to watch the Super Bowl all day on my home theater PC. Yay.
It's only like 4 hours.
Oh, that's all?
Not all day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, including the halftime show. Yeah. But no, the majority of the day. I am going to be,
eat some wings.
I'm not going to eat any wings. But I'll have a lot of chips and dip.
Oh, yeah.
And, I don't know, maybe some Jell-O shots. That happened last year. It was really fun.
Oh.
It was a good Super Bowl.
I need to go to your party.
Yeah. I feel like I should apologize for being obnoxious on the social networks.
It's okay.
If that's what ends up happening on Sunday, I'm really sorry.
When I went to Comic-Con, I told people, just mute me when I go to all the vampire Comic-Con panels.
Right.
Because I'm going to go nuts, and that's all I'm going to talk about on Twitter. So I just told them to mute me.
We're passionate people.
Yes,
we've got our passions, and that's why that's why social networking is so fun. Hey, so spotlight this week. This is, I think, I don't know where I came across vinecats.com, Shannon, but you and I are obviously on the same wavelength because you had suggested it to me.
So cute.
And if you're wondering, well, what's Vinecats? This is cat videos that come from the new social network Vine. Amber and I talked about Vine last week. This is the service that Twitter had bought before it launched. So this is now officially a Twitter property, but it's a standalone iOS app. Unfortunately, just an iOS app at this time, but they're working on an Android version as well. That is 6-second videos that can be shot in quick bursts. Basically, it's 6 seconds collectively, and then it loops over and over. Now, you might say, Vinecats, well, how are they doing that? How do they know it's all cat stuff? Well, it's not actually all cat stuff. In fact, anybody who's watching the video version of the show in the upper left-hand corner, there's no cat there. But
it looks like what they're doing is
the word
cat for the word
turns
cat.
Into the title. Yeah, so it looks like it's keywords either in the title of a post or possibly a hashtag.
And I love when you get bored of the kitties that you're looking at, which almost never happens for me. You can just hit give me more cats and it'll refresh the page.
And it'll load another 9 Vine cats.
It's ridiculously cute. That's all it is. It's just cuteness.
It's a little bit like, there's so many. There's so much going on.
It's kind of hard to focus on just one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely
true.
Although
that little calico looks kind of like my kitty. He's so cute.
Vinecats.com. Tell a friend who loves cats, and probably don't tell your cat-hating friends because this is the sort of thing I'm sure that cat haters would just hate even more. Vine cats. Yeah, it's the best of both worlds because everyone knows that the internet is made of cats and Vine is very hot right now. So this is the future of tech, everybody. Take a good look.
Apparently
it's Vine,
Vine is made of cats.
Vine is made of cats. This actually reminds me of another sort of Vine spinoff called VinePeak.com. Have you heard of that?
VinePeak, no.
Yeah, so VinePeak is a constant stream of vines that are being uploaded to the service in no particular order. It's just a vine.
What in the world?
Yeah. So it's one vine, and then it'll load another vine. Ooh, let me turn down my audio. And you kind of, you're looking at, I'll turn my audio back up. You're looking at, I don't know. It's kind of like these little slices
just
of life.
Just random uploads to Vine. Now, do
exactly.
they have any kind of...
Now, you can see who posted it, too. So if you're interested...
You can follow them.
Yeah, you can learn more about the person.
That's cool.
It's strange. It really is strange because it's all over the place.
You know, I haven't played with Vine enough, but is there a way that you can set your Vine to be private?
I don't know. I probably.
Because I haven't run across that yet when I'm playing with the app. So I wonder if you can set it to private, and if that's the case, other people can't search for you and include you in sites like this.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I'm sure if you're private, it would bypass you.
I know Vine's been having a lot of problems with kind of dirty things being uploaded. So do they have any kind of feature in VinePeak to not play those? Because that would be really bad to run across.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the big stories last week. Was not only did Vine launch and it was very interesting to everybody, but there was all this pornography.
Oh.
And but part of that was there was an issue with some Vine editors' picks that ended up. They were actually suggesting pornography.
That
is basically it was you block some hashtags and some keywords and you're in much better shape. But so, yeah, that is interesting for something like VinePeak that supposedly snippets of life at random. I assume they probably try to filter out, sexy words and that sort of thing.
Oh, so it says the stream is coming straight from Vine and is unmoderated, so you have been warned.
Okay, so we can
see
anything right now.
Yeah, if you refresh the page, it tells you a little bit about VinePeak on the side of it. Unmoderated. So yeah, hopefully nothing bad comes up while we're streaming this out to the internet.
Oh, gosh.
Hey guys.
A dog in his butt. This is gross enough. It's pretty cute. All right, well, I'm going to close it before we end up... When I first came across this, I was like, that's dumb. I don't know any of these people. It's like, what's compelling about it? But you do sort of kind of get, lost in...
Vine's still not that compelling to me.
Yeah.
I'm having a problem finding people that I want to follow. Mm-hmm. And I'm also having a problem recording things because I feel like I'm not creative enough for posting anything on Vine.
The problem that I have the same problem, and this is actually something that I talked about on this week's i5, is you can easily find vines that are very creative.
Yeah.
I have a few friends who are putting a lot of thought into it, and I feel like I have some sort of a mental blockage that I'm not going to make some stop motion thing. I want to take a picture of something, and maybe this is just me saying, Instagram's good enough, I fear change. Take a picture of something, add a filter. Maybe it's, a picture of a friend or beautiful sunset. Looks pretty good. Add a little caption. I'm done. It doesn't, it's not hard.
Yeah, I have
Vine
no
is
problem
like,
finding stuff to take pictures of.
Exactly.
That's easy.
Vine is like, it requires a lot of thought before you get started.
I think it's because of that 6-second rule.
Yeah.
You have to make it 6 seconds and you want to catch the interest within that 6 seconds or it's just,
right.
It goes kaput.
I have been vining because, of course, I hate to think that I'm not participating in something that's popular, especially social networking stuff. I've got fear of missing out big time when it comes to that. But my vines aren't great. They're not. I mean, I went out for drinks with some friends the other night, and it's like there's a 6-second thing of my friends' faces.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, I mean it's not great. I mean, I like them. They're very nice people, but I don't know how much anyone's getting out of that.
Yeah.
If it was just a single photo, I wouldn't have posted that to Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it just didn't look that good.
Yeah.
Vine needs filters. I keep saying that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Ooh, that would be so cool. Like an old-timey filter?
Something like that.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we know apps. There are apps that that provide that, like 8mm.
And a way to download them. Mm-hmm. I need that, too. Unless it saves. I don't know if it saves on your phone. I'm going to find out.
That's a good question.
Because I never delete my pictures off my phone. Hopefully nobody ever steals
question.
My phone.
You know what it seems to be?
They do. Yeah, they save onto your phone.
Okay.
So that's good.
All right. Yeah, for sure. Or it'd be a bit of a waste. Speaking of Vine, we actually got a video from Steve Garfield. He sent us a couple videos 2 weeks in a row into a very interesting look into his experience with Vine, the network.
This week I've been experimenting with Vine. It limits you to only 6 seconds per video. This week I've been experimenting with Vine. It limits you to only 6 seconds per video. This week I've been experimenting with Vine.
Steve,
it limits you,
you trickster.
To only 6 seconds.
The point is, you don't get through much because it's only 6 seconds and then it loops over and over. Oh, Steve, I feel your pain.
That's cute.
It's cute, yeah. It's and that's part of the thing too. Is yes, you can sort of create this creative work of art in 6 seconds, or you've got 6 seconds to say or do something.
Yeah,
and that's often not enough.
I agree.
For
we're very talkative people.
Yeah.
We like talking for hours on end.
I also think that I sound like an old lady.
What?
I was telling some friends of mine and I were having brunch last weekend, and Vine had just launched, and of course everybody's like sort of half-heartedly using it, and I said, I believe that I'm getting to the point now where I have social app saturation, and Vine is something that it's just like, I'm the old lady who's just like, I don't need this.
Yeah.
What's this all? This isn't really the future, right? What's wrong with the stuff that we already have?
Yeah.
Why am I not excited about it? And some of my friends said, yes, welcome. Welcome to the other side. We've been here for
welcome
a long time.
Welcome to the old people world.
Yeah, exactly. welcome to the kind of people who don't actually think that every social network needs, all of our love and attention.
I kind of agree.
So, I don't know. Maybe we'll warm up to it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get creative enough.
Yes, maybe that's what we need. We got an email from Martin, who is kind of reminding... Jason, let me put that link in there for you, because I forgot to earlier. Reminding us about a site called Dribbble.com. He actually said, I was just wondering if you'd heard of a site called Dribbble. This is Dribbble, like the word dribble, but with three Bs in the middle. He says, if you have heard about it, what do you think about it? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, chat room or social hour listeners and viewers, but Amber and I have talked about Dribbble, but not in a really long time. This is a social network that is based on design. So if you are a graphic designer, an app developer, you're working on, you've got some design elements, we're looking at something that looks like the beginning stages of what will be an iPhone app and the interface there, or some original artwork. This is sort of a place for people who are design-oriented or inclined or really talented at to not only share stuff, but give each other feedback.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. Now,
so it's definitely not a place that was made for somebody like me who is not a developer, and I don't do any kind of creative design like that.
Well, how about this? What if you had a great idea for something, but you didn't know how to build it? If you spend a little time on Dribbble, and all of a sudden you kind of come across maybe this person's artwork where you're like, gosh, I just love everything that they do.
Oh, can you hire them?
Well, you can certainly reach out.
That's cool.
You can reach out. Yeah. I think that's there's a little bit of everything. There's a little bit of, hey, I'm working on this. What does everybody think? Or, hey, I'm really talented. Check out my portfolio.
Yeah,
this is a great
really
place.
Nice.
Yeah, so you've got people who are on Dribbble who are creating and who are interested in the creators. So yeah, I think it's a great place for that specific kind of social network. It's one of these situations where it's a specific place to hang out, but it's the right place for a lot of people, and it's really nice. I mean, it's easy to navigate. It looks good.
It looks like they have a link at the top for jobs for designers.
Yes.
And it lists a whole bunch of different companies that are hiring.
That's right.
What happens if you click on it? It just takes you to the website where you can apply for the position.
Exactly.
That's really nice.
Yeah, it's sort of a social network with a lot of resources as well. So that's
cool.
Dribbble. Thanks, Martin, for reminding us to remind everybody if anybody's watching the show and either forgot about Dribbble or maybe hasn't watched all the way back to when we talked about it before. Again, that's Dribbble with three Bs, DRIBBLE.com. Got an email from Amir. He lives in Israel, and he says, is there an app or a social tool that you can manage a brand and a personal profile of Instagram without signing in and out? It's annoying.
So I guess I would love if there was something like
so
that.
So this is something like a Hootsuite or a TweetDeck or a TweetBot, actually. That's my Twitter client. What Amir wants to do is he wants to have multiple Instagram accounts. He's probably got a personal account. Maybe he manages one for work. Maybe he's got one that's only cats, that's called Amir_cats or something like that. And he wants to be able to manage several accounts at once. I don't believe that's possible on Instagram.
I wish it was.
Yeah.
Because I have my own Instagram account on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to kind of fix this for our Facebook page for Hack 5, another show that I do.
Yeah.
So if you go to facebook.com/technolust and click on Instagram, we're on Instagram, it'll show you my normal photo feed for Instagram photos, and you'll see all the weird stuff I take pictures of, all my personal stuff. But you can also click on the hashtag Hack5, And it'll show you all of the Hack 5 Instagrams that have gone out on Instagram that just have that hashtag, which is really nice because I can see not only the photos that I've posted from my personal one with hashtag Hack 5, but I can also see fans' photos. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, but I really wish that there was a way to easily switch between my personal feed and the Hack 5 feed if I made a new username for that one.
I mean, I'm trying to think of what a solution would be. You know, the only solution I can really think of is more for viewing. I mean, I could be signed into one account, let's say accessing Instagram via Flipboard, and then I could use another. But you're not uploading via Flipboard. You're really just looking at other people's photos.
They need to create a Hootsuite for Instagram.
They do.
That would be amazing if there was just an app where you could sign into all three accounts or all two accounts, whatever you have, and just switch back and forth between them. That'd be great.
And I think that's very telling that people want this. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just goes to show you how many people have Instagram accounts.
Yeah.
And at times multiple accounts and just say, this has got to be easier. You know, I'm managing all these different accounts. It's very Twitter-esque.
Yeah.
You know, Leo is always telling me that his kids think that Twitter's like over. It's all about Instagram now.
And sister says that too.
Really?
But she's 21, so.
It must be a generation gap. Same range, I guess. But I think, Twitter. Well, anyway, I guess they are similar.
I'll add to that real quick, just real quick, because I teach a class to junior level students at the Academy of Art University. So they're all, you know, 19, right around there. And I had a conversation with a few of them one time after class about Twitter and Instagram. And they said the same thing. Twitter is not something that they're interested in. It's all about Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Oh, Tolly in chat is reminding me about an OS X app called Carousel. Do I have that on this computer? I think
what
I may
Carousel?
Only. Carousel is it's a standalone desktop. No, darn it! I have it on my iMac at home. It's a desktop app, Mac only, as far as I know, for Instagram. I have never used it to manage multiple accounts because I just have one. I'm just Sarah Lane. I just have one personal account. But yeah, Tolly says that that's an easy way to manage a second account. Amir, I'm not sure if you are using OS X, but definitely check out Carousel or anybody else who would get something out of this.
That's cool.
Yeah. So and there's got to be other options. Carousel is the only desktop Instagram app that I've ever used, just because that was the OS X one that I had heard about quite a while ago. I mean, it's at least a year old, maybe more. But hopefully, Amir, we at least got you thinking, and maybe you have access to Carousel as well. Reminder that we love hearing from you guys. It's fun to get your videos, it's fun to get your voicemails, fun to get your emails, and you help us build our show each week. So if you want to write us, thesocialhour@twit.tv, just a reminder, that's how you email us with all of your questions, comments, and deep, dark secrets. If you want to give us a call, leave us a voice message. It's 2626-SOCIAL. I know that sounds like kind of a weird phone number, but you just type out 2626 and then SOCIAL on your number pad, and I promise you will get our voicemail, our Google Voice inbox. Or you could record a video like Steve Garfield did this week and then upload it somewhere. He uploaded it to YouTube. Send us the link, and we'll play it on a future show. All right, so, Shannon, we're almost to the end of our hour, which is...
Already?
I know, which is so sad.
I could sit here and talk all day.
I know. It's like we're just talking about the stuff that we'd want to talk about. But as you know, you're familiar with The Social Hour. At the end of every show, Amber has something that she's trying to decide is either rad or just a fad. And so I'm going to kick it over to you this week to pose a rat or fad to me and the rest of the Social Hour audience.
Help me decide.
All right.
I found this website called feed.com. It's PHEED.com. And I signed up for an account. What it looks like to me is a new social network that can link to your Twitter and your Facebook account if you want it to. So you can share those. They have an iOS app currently. They do not have an Android app yet. And it seems to be an application that aggregates not only text messages like it does on Twitter, little 140 characters or so, but it also does audio, photos, and videos and broadcasts. So it seems to be a place for creative types to be able to share not just their broadcasts or their videos or audio radio shows or whatever, but they can also do photos and text like they can in Twitter. And since you can share it with Twitter, it could possibly be a nice little place that you could go to instead of going to twitter.com every day.
Uh-huh.
Now, what was interesting to me as well on this was that they have a paid version where you can set it up so that people can only access your account if they pay to access it, and then you can gain some monetary contribution from that.
If you were doing some sort of like a live chat or something like that.
All right. Ultimately, you could be able to set this up as like a radio channel for yourself and just have it connect to your username, feed.com/ShannonMorse for myself or whatever. But the problem that I've seen so far is that I don't recognize anybody that's on here except for like Paris Hilton.
Oh,
that's about it. And I really don't want to follow her. I saw her page and I was like, no thanks.
I'm all of a sudden thinking that I do know Feed. I think this is, this may be, yeah, okay. So I'm definitely, I've subscribed to, oh no, that's you. You subscribe to
Free
People.
Yeah, I subscribed to it and I connected it to my Twitter account so that I could link them back and forth and just, you know, send my little 140 character messages back and forth. But overall, it looks really nice. I like the setup, how you can, you know, put in your own background, and it's really easy to upload pictures. You can just take photos from your webcam or what have you. And the application is very easy to use on the iPhone, but it just doesn't seem to have a lot of people on it. It seems very, very quiet, and I've never heard of it before.
And that's what you need. Yeah, I absolutely have used Feed in the past. In fact, I'm now looking at my own profile. I've subscribed to like three people that I know.
Yeah.
And one of them is Feed, the main account. So whatever. Andrew Major and Hunter Walk, two of my friends, probably the only two friends that I could see when I tried to link up to friends who were using Feed. Yeah. I remember this. Yeah, it's a Los Angeles based company. It's sort of like a Twitter.
It seems LA based, based on who I've seen is using it. There's like a lot of singers and models and you know, fashion people.
And maybe that's, you know, maybe there's a little bit of the same thing when people roll their eyes and say, oh, that just seems like something like a Bay Area thing. You know, the people in the Bay Area like, and, you know, coming across as, you know, a bunch of, you know, engineer nerds type of a thing. Not that I
so
think
maybe
that
it's
we
just
do.
An LA thing.
Maybe there's, I mean, maybe it's a little bit more of a regional.
Yeah.
Thing, because yeah, I'm not so interested in most of these celebrity types that may be featured on Feed. But it doesn't mean they're not interesting. It's just that's just my personal preference.
Yeah,
because I'm just so used to my nerdy engineer types.
Me too.
So that's Feed. So I don't know. So what do you think? I mean, I think without mass user adoption, it's always a fad.
Yeah,
because you need the users in order to grow, and they just something like Feed has a lot of competition.
I agree. I feel like I could use this for a couple of days and maybe find two or three other people to follow on it. But overall, I don't know. It's just a site for me. It's just another social network,
and we have plenty.
Yeah,
we
so
really
it's
do.
It's kind of a fad for me.
All right, Feed's a fad. It's official. Sorry, Feed. We're just not that into
Maybe
you.
I'll check it out like 2 years down the line if it still exists. And
if it
see
still
if
exists
more
in 2 years,
it.
Then, you know, then good on ya. Because because so many of these sites come and go. Feed. All right. Well, if you're using Feed, if you say, Sarah and Shannon, you're missing the point. It's awesome. And here's my profile and it's great. Let us know. TheSocialHour@twit.tv. We will entertain all sorts of opinions, of course. But for now, looks like a fad. All right, well, we've come to the end of our hour. Shannon Morse, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Please come back. You and Amber should do a show, all three of us.
Oh, yeah, that would
be
fun.
It'd be a triangulation of
I could
of
be
awesome.
Your guest.
Yes, absolutely.
That'd be cool.
So what else is going on with you? This is,
oh my gosh.
This is certainly not, you know, you're so busy. I wasn't even sure you'd be able to do the show because you've got other shows that you're working
well, let's
on.
See.
So
I
for
do
anybody who's unfamiliar.
Before You Buy, and then I do BikeClubShow.com, which is our vampire audio podcast.
Nice.
Because I'm a total nerd for vampires. And then I do hack5.org, hacktip is on there as well, and our new show, ThreatWire, which is on youtube.com/techfeed, which is Revision 3 and Discovery's new tech channel. They're trying to compete for all those cool channels on YouTube.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. So you're extremely busy place. Woman.
I'm trying to be.
Well, you know, Before You Buy, by the way, which is a Twitch show, if you're not watching it, it's a lot of fun, basically a variety of Twit staff reviews things every week. But you're the one who has to get all the products in and out of here. And that's a lot of wrangling.
it's a ton of wrangling. I have to contact a whole lot of people. I'm on the phone a lot, and I had a couple of meetings here, actually, with a couple of different companies. And, yeah, I try to get the best and the greatest ones, the new cell phones and tablets and whatnot, mm-hmm. laptops, and just check them out on the show, see if they're worth buying.
Well, it's a really good show. I show up on Before You Buy every once in
you
a while.
You do, yes. We're going to have you on pretty soon.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna talk. Well, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to talk about. It's a secret.
You have to watch.
You have to watch the show. All right, that's it for this episode of The Social Hour. Thanks to everybody for listening and watching. Amber will be back next week. Reminder, we're live on Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And our website is twit.tv/TSH. Until then, have a great week and see you next time.